Welcome to Energy in Action. I'm your host, Marcy Young, and as a Mito patient myself, I appreciate you and the community you've helped us to build. This podcast honors the triumphs and struggles of patients and families affected by this disease and celebrates the work being done by doctors and researchers every day to make it a safer world for our people. We are a support group and a podcast focusing on all things related to mitochondrial disease. Welcome to another episode of Energy in Action. Today, I am joined by two very lovely women, Lisa Collins and Taryn Kazi. Lisa is the founder of the Superhero Project, and Taryn is one of the earliest artists on board and currently the creative director of the organization. This organization has come so far. It's such a bright light in the rare disease community. There's so much good that they're doing. It literally brings tears to my eyes. And I believe that there's many families listening who could take part in what they're doing. And I can't wait to tell everyone, shout from the rooftops, what they've been up to. So welcome, Lisa. Welcome, Taryn. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the invitation, Marcy.
Thank you, Marcy.
Let's set the stage and tell our listeners what the Superhero Project is all about. Lisa, do you want to take that?
Absolutely. We are a nonprofit organization, and we use the arts as a tool for healing and empower young people impacted by serious illnesses, disabilities, complex mental health, developmental or medical needs. We interview kids and teens from all over the country, all over the world, to find out who they are beyond their diagnosis and how they want to make a positive difference in the world, what changes they want to see. That becomes the basis of their superhero mission. And we then take them through a series of questions after we've learned all about them and, you know, what they like to do, what kind of things they do for fun, what makes them a good friend, what their favorite things are. We talk with parents to find out what makes them most proud of their children, what they see as their greatest strengths. Once we have all of that, then we want to know what they would do as a superhero. And then we take them through a series of questions to conceptualize what they will look like, what kind of tools and powers they need to achieve their goals and their mission, how they get from place to place, every detail from start to finish. And then each child is matched with a member of our League of Extraordinary Artists, which are hundreds and hundreds of artists from around the world who all volunteer to create the design, to create a superhero poster based on the child's ideas and their photos. And those posters really become a reflection, a visual representation of their strength, their creativity, their courage, and really the wonderful ways that they're moving through the world and that they're making the world around them a better place to be.
What a bright light you are in these families' lives. You know, it's so heavy to be talking about doctors and tests and diagnosis and, you know, all of that all the time, and to be able to give these families such a beautiful gift. It's so unique. I haven't heard of anything similar to this. But beyond that, it's a beautiful gift. It really is.
Thank you, Marcy. I mean, one thing that's really important to us, one aspect of the program that is really significant, is the interview itself, which is it's a strengths-based interview. And just what you said, you know, parents, if a child has a lifelong disability, or if a kid or a teenager has had a long diagnosis, then they are always being asked to talk about what the problems are, what the issues are, what needs to be fixed, what's not working correctly. And we just turn that on its head. And we're asking them to talk about the best parts of who they are. We never talk about anything medical at all in the interviews unless the kid brings it up. Otherwise, our focus is just on what is right and what is best and what is loved. And a lot of parents tell us how really meaningful that is for them to have the chance to only focus on their child's strengths and their beauty. And that makes the interviews even interviews with young people who unfortunately are in hospice care or palliative care, even with that, the interviews themselves have joy in them because they're getting a chance to celebrate the unique qualities of this young person who they love more than anything. And it's a real honor for us to be able to provide that space to have that conversation. And then as, you know, as the frosting on top, what's that expression? It's like, you know, the extra little wonderful bit is that they get this amazing poster created by talented artists. And that becomes a reminder. Of course, it's a reflection of the kid's character. It also becomes a reminder of the interview itself.
Yeah, it's a positive experience overall.
The icing on the cake.
That's the icing on the cake.
Cherry on the sundae.
Frosting, icing.
I prefer frosting, but okay.
I just prefer the cake, to be honest. But so when a family contacts your organization, how does the process work from there? Tell us about this interview process.
Okay, so we have the families pick an interview date and time that works for their schedule. We do everything we can to be accommodating and to make sure that the process is accessible. So if the dates that we have in our calendar don't work, we'll work with them to find something else. If a child, if we need to work with an interpreter, either because a child speaks with ASL or if they are from another country and English is a second language or they don't speak English, we'll make that happen. And of course, if a child is nonverbal or no longer verbal, then we involve them as however we can. And we invite their parents, their siblings, whoever loves them the best, knows them the most, you know, to give them to answer the questions on their behalf. So we start off, as I mentioned, with, you know, the first half once we meet, and that can be over Zoom, over Google Meet, over FaceTime. I started by doing in-person interviews at a local children's hospital. I live just outside Cleveland, so I was working at one of the Cleveland children's hospitals. And while I occasionally still go in, we started getting so many requests from outside of the city and then outside of the state and then ultimately even further afield that I started doing more and more virtual interviews. Of course, during the pandemic, I stopped entirely going into the hospital. And so anyhow, we connect with families in whatever way works best for them. And then that first half of the interview is really talking about the whole child. Then we go through the superhero part. So, and that is very, very detailed. I mean, starting with, okay, so what color or colors do you want on your shirt? All right. Is it short sleeved or long sleeved? Okay. And what about on your wrist? Do you want to have a bracelet, a friendship bracelet, a watch, wrist cuffs, or nothing on your wrist? Okay. And what color is, you know, if they pick something, what color is that? And how about on your hands? Do you want to have gloves or no gloves? Okay, you want gloves? Do you want regular gloves or fingerless gloves? And what color are your gloves? So it's like that all the way through, just giving kids as much autonomy as possible and a way to really take back. You know, unfortunately, if you're living with an illness, whether it's short-term or lifelong, you lose a certain agency over your physical self because people are, especially when you're inpatient, you know, they're coming in, they're taking things, they're giving things, they're poking you, they're squeezing you, they're doing whatever it is that they need to do. And you lose a little bit of feeling in control. And of course, if you're going through some kind of critical episode that your body may have be changing, either you're losing your hair because of chemo or you're getting puffy because of steroids. And this is a way to really put that control back in the child's or the teen's hands. Once we have all that information, all of that goes over to the artist. And so, Taryn, will you start? Tell folks how we match kids up with artists and then what the process is from there.
Sure. So it's up to me to weed through all of the artists who inquire through the Superhero Project. I take a look at their portfolios and let them know if they've been accepted into the League of Extraordinary Artists. When Lisa has her assignments ready and the artist had the opportunity to sign up on our online calendar, they are given a couple start dates and deadlines. They're all about 2 weeks out. They're all about a 2-week turnaround for our artists. They're able to choose a date that works for them, much like the families can for their interviews. So our calendar is always pretty full of the artists that we have ready for that week. We take a look at their portfolios to see what sort of style they have and if it will lend itself well to the requests that the kids have in their assignment bios. It's up to me too, as well, to work with them through those 2 weeks that they have their assignment, to look at their poster, give them feedback, help them with critiques and offer suggestions, things like that. And then at the end, once they have their final poster, we have them send it in along with a specialty note that they can send to the kiddo and a little bio about themselves, so that when we send the final poster, it can go with all of this information and this sweet little note, as well as a character story, sort of like a little origin story about each superhero kiddo. So they get this really sweet little package that they get to cherish forever.
We do protect confidentiality in case anyone is curious about that. The artists only get the child's first name and their age. They don't get a location or a last name. And what Taryn said about the origin stories is also another important aspect, because we pull as much as we can from the child's own words to put that into the story, as well as the parents' words. And for example, if a parent says that their kid is cute as a button or tough as nails, then when we describe the superhero, we're going to use those same expressions. And the parent may not remember exactly that they said that, but they are going to recognize their child from that description. And they'll think, this is exact. They captured her so perfectly. And they can't figure out how. And I'm just like, well, actually, you said that and we're just paraphrasing you. But it makes the whole process, I think, even that more magical when the kids open their posters and we mail them to them. So they open the poster, and sometimes they read the story first. We make it so that that's the first thing that they see, and then they look at the poster, or maybe they do it in reverse. But you see that wonderful recognition when we get the videos back, right? So we're not always in the room when they do it, but a lot of parents will send photos of the reveal or videos of the reveal, which is really fun for us to see. And of course, we send those back to the artist as a way to say thank you to them, because that's really fulfilling. But you see it when they're looking at the poster, that first there's curiosity, and then there's the recognition that, oh my goodness, that's me. And then they start looking at all of the details and really finding themselves in each of those little elements and remembering what they said, and then hearing the story that talks about who they are. And it becomes a really special piece.
I love that. You said something to me the last time we talked about how you're taking the ideas from the child seriously, that you're working to make sure that the child is heard. And I think that's such a big piece, because they might be heard in relation to how their ailments are affecting them, but maybe not some of the other stuff. And the other stuff doesn't get focused on. There isn't time to be silly and creative. And so you're giving these families that, and helping the parents even maybe rethink, you know, some other projects that they could be doing with the child outside of this. But, you know, seeing how it lights up their kid and lights up themselves, I have to imagine it's a really positive experience for the child and the whole family.
I think it is. And I think a lot of times before, like the parent will sort of start with me on the Zoom before they call the child in, to just give me a disclaimer that, well, I don't know if they're going to talk. They don't really like talking to strangers, or they're very shy. And I don't know an exact number, 90% of the time, by the end, those kids are just, you know, answering all the questions with authority and creativity. And the parents are just stunned at how well they've communicated. And it's because it's something totally different from what they're thinking about. That idea about them being heard is also something that promotes one of the positive impacts that parents report, and that is self-confidence. So part of that comes from seeing themselves depicted so beautifully and so powerfully visually, but it also comes from a child saying, well, I want to have a blue shirt and a red
belt and orange pants and pink shoes and a rainbow hat. And then they see that this artist has made, I'm never going to remember what I just said, a red pants and a yellow belt and orange shoes and rainbow hat. The rainbow hat was right. But they see that someone has taken their ideas so very seriously. And Taryn can speak to the challenge of creating, of taking art direction from an 8-year-old. But before I let her do that, I'll just say that the other three primary impacts that parents report. So one is this increase in self-confidence. The second is that it fosters resilience because it gives caregivers another tool to say, okay, you've got this tough challenge happening. What would your superhero do in this moment? Or which of your superpowers are you going to call on to get through this? There's a feeling of connection both between the child and the artist, even though they don't meet. The letter really, you know, starts this lovely kind of pen pal relationship. But it's also a way for families to connect with their circles, with their neighbors, with their extended family, with their school community, with their faith community, as a way to say to people who might be hesitant to approach them, look, this is how we see our child, and this is how we want you to see them too. And then fourth, that it really inspires hope, just knowing that there are people out there who want to do something kind, who want to lift them up, want to send some smiles over during a tough time, and that they're doing it all just, you know, out of the goodness of their heart. And that's really special too. Taryn, do you want to talk about how you work with the long lists of requests that you get from kids?
Art direction from a 6-year-old.
It's always fun. It's never the same thing twice. I do take it as a fun challenge, actually. Getting a whole list of requests from a kiddo who's imagination is just absolutely bananas. I love it. So it works really well for creative minds, especially for artists who join our superhero project. You can tell that our mission really resonates with them, and they really want to try so hard to include every single tool and power. And sometimes they'll ask me and say, I don't know how to have this kid holding this popcorn maker and a cool power hammer and also have a sidekick dog and also have all of these like cool pieces. And so I get to work with them and figure that out. So it's always been a fun challenge, honestly. And I've met a ton of artists who have never drawn a wheelchair before. They don't know what AFOs are. And Lisa and I have created these reference sheets so that no artist goes in absolutely unknowing about any of these things. We'd like to help them with anything we can to help them figure this out and to understand what this child needs on a day-to-day so that they can accurately depict them to make that child feel as empowered as possible. So yeah, we get a lot of rainbow on rainbow on rainbow, and it's up to us to figure out how to make it look good. And like, these artists, I can't even, I love them. I love that I get to meet them every single day. I love to see their ideas because they do an incredible job with the colors, with all of the prompts, and they keep coming back time and time again. So I love them. It's great.
What rewarding work.
Mm-hmm.
So Lisa, this organization and what you do, this is so creative. What brought you to creating this organization?
Well, it was a little bit of an accident. I was...
a wonderful accident.
A wonderful, yes, the best possible accident.
Cue Lisa's origin story.
Exactly. So for 9 years, I was a counselor at Camp Sunrise, which for 24 years was the only camp in Ohio for kids impacted by HIV and AIDS. And every summer we had a different theme. One year, the theme was about finding your inner superhero. And I just thought, wouldn't it be so fun if the first day of camp, we asked the kids who they would be as a superhero? And then if we surprised them the last day of camp with a picture of themselves as their superhero. So I pitched it to the camp director, who said, yes, that sounds great. You should do that. And so then I needed to figure out how to do it. I started cold emailing and cold calling artists from different companies and different,
you know, just doing what I could to try and find them. And then luckily remembered that my high school homecoming date, my senior year, is I knew from Facebook that he was working in animation out in LA. So I reached out to him and he was able to get 50 artists. And so together with the ones that I did, we turned around in 1 week over 80 designs for the campers. And a few of the campers had grown up to be counselors. And so we did superheroes for them as well. And as those designs started coming back in, I was really stunned that somehow they had captured not just the look of the kids, and they only had one photo to deal with and very little information compared to what we give now, a fraction of what we, you know, send to artists now. But they had just captured this strength and this spirit and this positivity and just truly made these young people look heroic. And when I saw the campers' reactions, which was in a slideshow, the last night of camp, we surprised them. And as each of the superheroes came up, the whole room would just erupt into laughter and cheers and applause. And all around the room, you could see counselors, you know, just like wiping tears away because it was like such a special, I was weeping for sure, like full on. And I just thought, you know what, I hate to let this go. It really was just supposed to be this one-time thing. But when I saw how powerful it was, I thought, I don't want to just stop doing it. I looked around to see if anyone was doing anything like it. I looked up other superhero organizations. And while there are a few other superhero projects out in the world, there's some people who take photographs of young people dressed as, you know, as existing superheroes. There are several different organizations that do photographs or portraits, painted portraits of young people who have some kind of medical complexity. There wasn't anyone that I could find that was combining this kind of positive, developmentally appropriate interview with then the custom artwork by an artist from far away. And so I started thinking about, okay, so then who would I interview? I started with inpatient oncology and hematology patients, quickly realized that for young people with lifelong disabilities, this would also be useful. Recognize that young people who are dealing with mental health challenges would find that useful. Realize that youth in foster care whose lives have been turned upside down, who've experienced trauma, who are not easily able to look to the future because their focus is just on where am I going to be today? Where am I going to be tomorrow? Maybe next week? That's what they're thinking about, is this gives them a chance for some positive visualization, which is really critical for young people who are going through something like that. And anyhow, so our populations have kept expanding. It was in 2016 that we had that camp summer. In 2017, I started doing the interviews. In 2020, an angel donor stepped forward and said, I'd love to give you some money to see what you could do with this, but you need to become a nonprofit. And so that's when I sort of gathered a board together. Taryn was actually on that original board as well. And we became a nonprofit organization. And then really within 6 months or so, I recognized that as I was thinking about how we could use this gift, how we could expand our programming, that the only way to really know if this could be a sustainable organization and an ongoing initiative would be to do it full time. Because up until that point, I was still just doing everything on evenings and weekends and on stolen lunch breaks and on really long lunch breaks from my real job. And so at the end, I pitched to the board this time the possibility of me going full time, which would significantly change our structure and our budget and all of that. And the board said, go for it. And so at the end of 2021, that's when I left my job and started doing superheroes full time. And it's hard to believe now that I'm coming up on 3 years of doing this full time. So the Superhero Project has changed my life. It's changed me and changed my life logistically in the sense that I'm now doing this full time. I'm working from home. But it also has changed my life, in a more personal way, that I feel as though this is the most meaningful work I've ever done. It's the most challenging work I've ever done for different reasons. And it's just been a joy, and it puts a lot of things in perspective, I think, both for Taryn and for me and for Kevin, who is our brand new halftime admin director. So we are slowly growing, and certainly for the artist as well is hearing these stories. And for the artists, staring at these kids' faces for hours and hours as they're designing this poster and learning about the obstacles that they're facing and the grace and strength and good humor with which they face the challenges in their lives, that absolutely has an impact on you and how you see the world and how you see the everyday setbacks that come from being a person living in a modern society.
It gives you a different lens on life, huh?
It does.
So correct me if I'm wrong. You have worked with kids who are battling mitochondrial disease, correct?
We have. And I actually went back and looked to make sure. And we are over 20, I think. That's not a huge number, but it's a really broad range in terms of symptoms. Some people have mitochondrial disease as one symptom, as one diagnosis within a constellation of diagnoses. Some are in their 20s. We've worked with young people who either were in their 20s when we met them or are now in their 20s because we met them when they were teenagers, all the way down to young people who were diagnosed right at birth, and we're meeting them when they are toddlers.
Do you have a couple of those superhero names, Afa?
I do. I can run through the list. We've got Powerful Peanut. We've got Wyatt Wild, Unstoppable Joey, Super Advocate Allie, Mighty Matthew. We've got Fightening, which is not a popular exercise regimen for your thighs. In fact, it is Thomas. Thomas is his first name, and his whole superhero revolves around lightning. So he pushed Thomas and lightning together to get, I'm not sure if it's pronounced tightening or fightening, but it looks like fightening. We've got a spectacular soybean. That was one that Taryn designed. She was very young when we met her, and her parents' nickname for her was a little soybean because of how like tiny and cute she was. And we have the amazing Villain Hunter. We've got Glitter Star, Mystery Mikey. So even just hearing those names, you get a sense of the breadth of their missions and the diversity of the characters that they've described and their alter egos that they've come up with.
It's so rare for me to interact with anyone who just on a whim understands and has met others with mitochondrial disease. So I was impressed from the get-go with your organization. And then when you told me, we could have done this podcast even if you had never worked with a child with mitochondrial disease, but I'm even more impressed now. So props to you.
Well, thank you. What happens often is we've had, although our largest clumps or groups of diagnoses are sort of autism and, sort of the umbrella of childhood cancer and some other more common diseases, we have done a significant number of families who have become part of the rare disease community. Sometimes it's happenstance that begins it. Like, for example, my stepsister's best friend's friend has a son who has Sanfilippo syndrome, which is a very rare, very heartbreaking, progressive, life-shortening disease. And so we did a superhero for him and for the young man and his family, and they posted about it and are part of a group of, a support group and a Facebook group, and they're part of For Sanfilippo Syndrome, and they are big supporters of the Cure Sanfilippo Foundation, which then actually the founders of that foundation had one done for their daughter, and then they posted about it, and now we've done a few dozen young people from the Sanfilippo Syndrome community, even though there are only a few hundred of them worldwide. And so the fact that we've connected with so many, but what that really does happen is that one family will find us however they find us. They'll do it. They'll find it fun and meaningful. And then they'll post about it. And then we'll get a little bunch of folks from the same diagnosis. So we had like a diabetes cluster from Southern California. And then we had a group of a bunch of young people who all use trachs, who were part of, you know, a trach support group in, I think it was in Ontario and around the Toronto area. And so I think that's why we've had almost a disproportionate number of young people with rare and singular diagnoses.
I do like, though, that we get to make those posters to bring awareness to those rare diseases. Some of the kiddos, they specifically in their missions would like to raise awareness about the disease that they have, or they would like to find a cure, things like that. Not only in the imagery that they request, something like zebra prints and things and ribbons, but they're also huge advocates for it with just in their stories. So it's really important that we get to introduce artists to those, everybody in the community, anyone who's following us, to those certain diseases and bring them to light so that they're more made more aware.
I mean, we could weigh the pros and cons of social media and the internet for the next week, right?
Oh, yeah.
But this is a huge opportunity that has been created because of social media and the internet.
Yeah, I mean, one of the good things to come out
of social media. Yes, one of the really great things to come of it. And there are many. I mean, I wouldn't have connected with MitoAction in the first place as a mitochondrial disease sufferer myself, you know? And I feel less isolated as a person because of social media. But, you know, there are the negatives out there, but this is definitely not one of them.
It's pretty stunning how quickly this tiny little thing that I was just doing just as a way, because around I really was feeling, you know, and it has not totally stopped and maybe it's ramped up a little bit again, but just this negativity and the despair of seeing what was happening in different places all around the world. And I just knew that in my world and in my capacity, I couldn't make a kind of global difference. I couldn't stop a war. I couldn't rescue a whole population of refugees. I just couldn't do those things. But what I could do is to make life a little better, a little happier, and provide some joy for individual families around me. And so that was my goal when I started. And the fact that within a very short period of time, I had connected with families and artists from around the world is really stunning. Our artists now are from 6 continents, multiple countries on each continent, and we've been trying to find someone in Antarctica just so we can finish the globe. So if any of your listeners know somebody in Antarctica, they don't need to be a good artist. They just need to be there, and we'll manage everything.
But I will help you through.
Yeah, but it really is amazing to see how we have created this global community of families and artists connected by this really imaginative and supportive thread of work that we're doing.
This positivity that all of these families, 100% of them, could use, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Anyone mm-hmm. can, but they deserve it. They can have. So, Taryn, what's the best part of being a part of this organization?
Wow. Make me pick? Okay, well, let's see. Recently, we went to Lightbox Expo that was in California, and we were surprised to see so many artists face-to-face at this
event. Will you go back and say what Lightbox is?
Oh, my gosh, yes. So earlier this year, we got to go to Lightbox Expo in California. That is a convention hosted by Bobby Chu of Schoolism. And it's a convention essentially for artists to meet artists by artists with studios and to mingle and share everything that they have learned, resources that are available to people in the area. It's fantastic. It's lovely. It's a candy store for artists. Like, no joke. So
I love that analogy.
Yeah. And so we were lucky enough. Bobby was generous to give us a booth space this year. We've never had a booth space at Lightbox Expo. So we hosted an entire exhibit uh, of, of posters done by the Animation Guild, because we are in big support of the Animation Guild, and we collaborated this year to make a set of about, I think, 30 or so posters. And so having that up and knowing that some of our artists were going to be there was a wonderful thing to know, but it was a huge surprise that even more artists that we know through the Superhero Project showed up. They just happened to walk up to the booth and say, "Hi, I'm an artist. I did this poster." And I over the moon, just so thrilled to meet these people face to face, give them a hug, take a picture with their poster. And we all just geeked out. It was great. So it's incredible to do the Superhero Project as an artist, as a volunteer, to make these posters, but you don't really get to meet as many of the artists as you'd like to because we're remote. We work all over the world. So being able to see, I think it was about 50 different artists face-to-face at this event, wonderfully overwhelming. So, I mean, not only do I really enjoy seeing all the photos that come back from the families of the kiddos with their posters, and they're so happy. They have those huge smiles on their faces, or they've hung up their posters in their hospital rooms to show that they see themselves as that powerful being. But also getting to meet the people behind the creation of the posters, it's just the tip of the iceberg as to why I like my job. But those are a couple.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what's the best part about running this organization?
What I really love is the same thing that Taryn mentioned at the end, which is hearing back from the families and discovering what an impact it's made on them. Our growth has really been organic, and that includes my understanding of what this program could be and what it would mean to the families. And it wasn't until I started getting notes back and also speaking with psychologists and child life specialists that I really started to understand the deeper potential and the deeper impact that this was going to have on young people. And so seeing those letters and the photos come back and really hearing from parents who say things like, you know, we're going through a really hard time, and that interview was the first time I saw my child smile since this started. Or, you know, a parent sending back a picture of their kid with their poster and saying, we were so moved seeing how excited she was by getting her poster, and she just lit up in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. You know, those kinds of moments make it really worthwhile.
This is such an incredible work that you guys are doing. I really hope that some of our families can move forward with your organization and see it come to life for them. So the Superhero Project is free for families, correct?
Okay. It is.
And it's open to families around the world. So how do families who are interested in learn more or sign up to start the process?
It could not be simpler. You go to SHP for Superhero Project, kids.org. And I'm guessing there will be a link in the write-up to this this interview. You go to our website and there's a form on the family page that you fill out. Tell us just a very little bit about you, and then well, that gets you into our system, and we'll send you an online calendar with dates so that you could pick, as Taryn said, you pick dates, or as I said, as both of us said, you pick dates that are convenient for your family. Sometimes people have to wait a month or two, but if someone is undergoing critical care, or if they are, you know, experiencing something right now, if they're going through like a treatment or they're inpatient right now, or if there's an urgency because of a medical situation, then we get people in as soon as possible. And that's it. And then you tell us how you want to meet. And then before that day, we'll send a reminder asking you to send in photos and giving you a brainstorming guide to help you start thinking about superhero missions and powers and names and all of that fun stuff. And then we jump in and do the interview. And then, you know, one day, 6 to 8 weeks later, or 8 to 10 weeks later, perhaps, you get a big envelope with your poster inside.
What a cool experience from start to finish. So yes, listeners, we will have a link to their website in the show notes, and we will also have some of the posters that they have created for children with mitochondrial disease in the last couple of years. So I think that'll be a treat for everyone to see. Ladies, it's been so wonderful talking to you. I've had a smile on my face this entire time. I really hope that you can connect with more mitochondrial disease.
We would be so honored to do that. So please do reach out.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your time and your energy.
Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to browse other Energy in Action podcast episodes. I am so inspired by the resilience of those in previous episodes, and I know you will be too.